As a small boy, I walked up all the hills round Grindelwald, because we used to come out to Grindelwald every summer. And then I used to scramble with my brother on the lesser heights, which is strictly forbidden, but we did it nonetheless. And I began to climb, I suppose, in my last year at Harrow. It would be a long time ago now, 1909 or so. Mm-hmm. And with intervals of breaking legs and wars and so forth, I've climbed steadily ever since.
Your worst accident occurred in Wales.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that?
Yes, I was descending a rock ridge in Wales, and a great block of rock, rather bigger than I am myself, came away on top of me. And I fell about 100 feet, but I was extremely lucky to survive with merely an appallingly bashed about leg.
And what does one think of when one's hurtling through the air to some unknown destination, like you were?
Well, I've had various falls in the Alps. Curiously, you don't actually feel frightened during a fall. You feel a certain vast irritation and a good considerable curiosity as to what's likely to happen, but you don't feel actually paralyzing fear like you so often feel when you're wondering whether you're going to come off or not. That's the time when you feel frightened mountaineering, when you've climbed something which is rather beyond your powers and you can't get down, you're not quite certain that you can get up. Those are the worst moments.
And what about this mysticism that one hears about, the attraction that a mountain has for men? Is this real?
Well, I think a great many people have found in the mountains, if not a substitute for religion, at least some antidote to a purely materialistic philosophy. That was my case. I rejected Christianity. But I never could adopt materialism, because nothing would persuade me that the emotions aroused me in me by mountains and by mountain beauty could be explained purely in the terms of the movement of atoms. I think to talk about a religion of the mountains is rather nonsense. And I think to worship mountains is equally nonsense. One worships in a cathedral, one doesn't worship a cathedral. But I do think that, as I say, men who have discarded institutional religion have found an anchor in mountains.
In your case, of course, you came back to religion.
Yeah.
And did the mountains have something to do with that?
Well, I think they did. I think throughout my life, I was conscious in the presence of mountains of some power expressing itself through mountain beauty.
It has been said about the Matterhorn that it is someone instead of something. Do you describe to this sort of emotional approach to mountaineering?
What is certainly true is that mountains do seem to have a kind of personality. I'm sure that's an illusion, but different mountains impress me in different ways. And when I see the Wetterhorn, for instance, the first time after been away for many months, it is rather like seeing an old friend, but I wouldn't base any philosophy on that.
How many books have you written, all told, about mountaineering?
About mountaineering? I've written over 50 books, all told, and I would say mountains and skiing account for rather more than 20 of those.
What was your idea behind writing the book?
To try and describe mountain scenery, or to describe mountain adventure, is a pretty good test of one's power of writing, and that I enjoyed doing. And also, I wrote it quite apart from anything else, to something to read in my old age, which I knew I'd enjoy.
Sir Arnold Lund, thank you very much for taking time out to talk to us and tell us about your experiences with the Swiss Alps.
Not at all.